It is January the 31st, 2014. I am Steve Gerwick, the webmaster of www.gerweck.net, gerwick.net, your source on the World Wide Web for all your pro wrestling news since 1997. And one of the things we always specialize in is interviews, podcasts, and great audio files for the listeners out there. And tonight it's a pleasure to welcome to gerwick.net a guy I'm a personal fan of. A former WWE, ECW, and TNA star. He's the Pope of professional wrestling, Elijah Burke. How you doing tonight, Mr. Burke?
What you say about it, Daddy? All is well in the land of flavor and funk, if you will. That's just kind of how we like to do this thing. So all is well, man. All is good. And looking forward to answering a couple of questions, if you will, that might be on the heart of yours and those of the congregation. So let's get down with it. Let's make this thing fucking like only we can.
All right. There's definitely some influence of Dusty Rhodes there. I can definitely tell that. So,
well, you know, I always tell folk that, you know, there's two people that birthed Elijah Burke into the business of professional wrestling. And one is Jim Cornette, him and Danny Davis, the grandfather, if you will, of OVW. That's what I like to refer to them as. And when it comes to a national scene, that'd be the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, not just by his personal influence, but Dusty himself was hands-on with Elijah Burke and played a big role in getting him up there when I first burst onto the scene with Sylvester Turkai Daddy. So, yeah, it's going to be
getting funky. Getting funky, if you will.
His handprint is somewhere on the Pope, Elijah Burke, if you will. I almost went back to TNA for a second. Let me stop reading. Go ahead, Daddy.
Okay. Well, let's talk first about since leaving TNA, you left TNA January of last year. What have you been up to? I know one of the things you did accomplish since leaving TNA is that you went down to OVW and took the television title from Flash Flanagan. So other than OVW, what have you been up to?
Well, you know, since I left TNA, I've done appearances here and there. You know, I've done a couple of conventions, and I've been to, you know, several indie organizations, which you will have to follow the ElijahFresh.com or follow me on the Black Pope on Twitter. Or, you know, I always do updates for my fans on Facebook as well. That's Facebook.com, Elijah Burke. So I've been taking my shows here and there, you know, when it appears to be worthwhile, if you will. You know, Pope has never I didn't grow up on the indie scene. So when it comes to going out and doing indie shows, you know, wrestling for some of these promoters or people who consider themselves promoters, you know, it's all about everything falling together, all the pieces of the puzzle falling in the right place, and Pope gets out there and he do his thing. I just got back from New York, as a matter of fact, where I did a show for Big Time Professional Wrestling. I believe that's the name of their show up there, and had a great crowd, and, you know, had a great performance and had a great night overall. So pretty soon coming up here, I'm going to join with TCW, which everybody probably knows Matt Riviera, and I'm going to do the Legends of Mid-South on WrestleMania weekend, but I'm sure we'll get to all that a little bit later.
Cool. Let's go back a little bit with TNA. What happened there at the end of TNA? And I think the question that a lot of people ask is, you know, why aren't you in TNA currently?
Well, Daddy, again, I'm sure somewhere down the line here in this interview we'll touch on this whole Punk WWE thing. I mean, it almost similar, it's the same thing, and it then boils down to what worked best for Elijah Burke, per se, at that time. And, you know, my time was coming up. I was filming a movie, Django Unchained. It's probably one of the things that I've shared with folk most that kind of left a bit of taste in folks' mouths. But I was doing Django Unchained. Had a great role in that film, not just the role that I thought I was going to have with The Dark Knight that ended up being nothing, but I had a great role in that film, and I needed some time to finish up my job on it, and you know, I had to come back to work, which rightfully so, I didn't mind going, because TNA was indeed my bread and butter, and you know, they worked with me or whatnot. But I ended up getting pulled from the movie, and I thought it would just be great for TNA to have the Pope, you know, being Leonardo DiCaprio's head mandingo, if you will. You know, and to have all that face time in that film, and to be carrying Leonardo DiCaprio when he died. I had already seen everything that I was going to do in that film, and you know, it took some time, and, you know, working with Quentin Tarantino, who was awesome, by the way, who had selected me for that part, I just kind of left a little bitter taste in my mouth that, you know, I thought, man, this company should really be working overtime to do all they can to push Pope to be in his film and let it come out, do some cross promoting, you know, get the company over, help Pope get over. And, you know, towards the end of my stay there, I ended up getting injured again. And as you all probably heard and know about all the recent contract renegotiations and the cutting of the money and refiguring of it or whatnot. You know, it was just something that at that time, you know, we respectfully parted ways. You know, I called Dixon and told her thank you and I appreciate it. And I'm going to, you know, take some time to be to Pope, you know.
I heard one interview you were talking that sometimes the fans kind of rag on TNA, and obviously you were there for a period of time. What do you think is really holding TNA back from being a mainstream company? I think obviously it does have its fan base. It does, you know, 1.1, 1.2 ratings, 1.5 million viewers a week. It has its fans. But what does it really need to do to take off and really connect with everyday wrestling fans?
Change is, in my opinion, and first let me say that Pope enjoyed his time in TNA. You know, obviously frustrated, you know, with certain things, you know, involving the character and direction or whatnot, as any professional will probably be, again, a la CM Punk. But change has been the biggest problem with TNA. And change is what TNA, in my opinion, needs to go forward, to have a bigger impact, if you will, no pun intended. Now, I'm using change in two different instances here, and I'm sure you want to know, well, what do you mean by change being good for TNA and change being bad? Well, there has been too much resetting of the button, if you will. There's been too much changing, if you will, for that organization. I cannot put my heart, I can't invest in something that is constantly changing. And so how am I to give my heart to this female, if you will, who every 2 to 3 months tells me she's going to change and make change periodically, and then all of a sudden goes backwards to the same thing that she once was? I can't invest in her. I can't see a long-term relationship with her, so I'm going to treat her as she is, and I'm going to deal with her on a when-I-feel-like-it basis, because obviously she's not worth my time. And I think that is how a lot of people look at TNA. I think they say, I'm going to deal with TNA on a when-I-feel-like-it basis. So it's not a must-need for an individual. It's not a must-have for the casual wrestling fan. But if I so happen to flip across the channel, I so happen to get so bored that there's no Thursday night football on, or there's not an episode of Big Bang Theory that I want to catch, then I might flip and see what's on TNA. And so that's been a problem. But on the other hand, when I speak of change, TNA needs to upgrade to a point that has nothing to do with characters. It has nothing necessarily to do with how they present themselves on a global scale. Well, actually it does, but they need to come forward. And and obviously, I think a lot of fans, when they look at TNA, they think, and you know, you're probably the same in all the comparisons to WCW. One thing about Vince McMahon, who is the greatest professional mind in the history of wrestling, if you will, he knows how to incorporate, even though they say he's out of touch with time, this man can't be too out of touch with time when you have Wiz Khalifa, you know, you're promoting his music on your show. You know, I'm a big fan of Jarrett allowed me my opportunity in TNA. I'm a big fan of Jarrett. I'm okay with country music and Toby Keith. But we have to start presenting the product as more of a hip-type scene that's going to cater not only to the rednecks in southern Tennessee, God bless them, I love them, but also to the urban community, to the younger community, and make this thing more fresher and an alternative to make people go, it's cool to be a fan, it's cool, and can't miss to be a part of TNA. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I look at WWE, I look at all the alternatives. They give something for everybody. I mean, these people got Fantasia. They probably didn't even know who the hell Fantasia was. But they looked at the environment. They say, we're in Atlanta for WrestleMania. We need somebody that's going to draw out our Atlanta fans. And therefore, we're going to have Fantasia the thing to start Spangled Banner. Or we're going to bring in, I can't remember the, I can see her face, but I can't think of her name. The other hip hop young lady, you know, I cannot think of her name. But anyway, they bring her in, and they know how to cater and get the people invested. It's just for that moment. They know how to do that. It's like going. We went to Jacksonville, Florida, and they had me promoting TNA. I got my law enforcement background there. I was over as a amateur boxer there in the Tough Man scene, you know, 3 years. Everybody kind of knew me, so I promoted it. I was in they did a front page on me, the news, local news, you know, wrestler comes home, you know, returns home, and they do all of this. And you have all these people that come out to support Pope and their TNA. And then you say, Pope, go out there and be a heel. And Pope goes out there to do his job, which I don't care. I'm going to do what I got to do. And you have all these people cheering Pope, who's a bad guy. It's his hometown. But that's no problem. I don't care about that. And you have all these people booing Samoa Joe. Now, if we want to build up this town, if we want to build a presence in this community so we can come back to Jacksonville and draw a bigger crowd, and you're one of your most over guys, if you will, at the time, is the Pope, and this place is going crazy for him, and it's kind of like they're going against the grain, you know, like the fans are right now with Daniel Bryan. You send them home happy. You make changes regardless of what you have planned out, what the book said. You say, hey, let's do this. Let's make these people happy because we want to bring them back. But it's just little things like that I think that if TNA were to focus on, you know, all the way from the management on down, if they were to focus on it and correct these little things that, you know, it could possibly take off and get back to the 1.4s and 5s that TNA started getting. You know, so open up a whirlwind there. But yeah, man. So that's pretty much it. But I mean, creatively, you know, there's frustrations. Like I said, every professional probably will deal with that, whether you're in WWE or TNA, because I had it on both ends. But I had a wonderful, wonderful time in TNA. Everybody asked me the difference. You know, there's no comparing on the professional end of things when it comes to WWE and TNA. But when it comes to the atmosphere, there's a big difference between WWE and TNA. And I enjoy it, the atmosphere of DNA.
Well, I think you nailed it when you were alluding to the change in TNA. I don't know if they've ever really developed an identity that people can really click with. I mean, at one time they were X Division based.
Right.
And that, like, that was popular. And then they had the knockouts were doing really well. And that was like the highest rated segments.
How do you
and then
stop
they,
that?
Yeah, I don't know.
How do you
it's insanity.
Yeah. The knockouts were the. Okay, I mean, you just hit it on the head. I should have let you finish. So as you did me, I apologize for interrupting you.
That's okay. They want to hear you, not me anyways. Go ahead.
That's okay. I'm the folk daddy, so if I interrupt you, I'm supposed to. So you just sit back and listen. Now,
okay.
When it comes to the X Division, Daddy, that, I mean, again, it was their, it's what put them on the map. God bless AJ Styles. I mean, you know, and the rest of them that were with them, Daniels and Nathan, you know, and Kazarian. I mean, those guys, great guys. And let's not forget Alex Shelley. I love that guy. Those guys were awesome. They put them on the map. They kept them on the map, if you ask me. And then the knockout. And I'm going to go back to Gail Kim and Kong. You know, and how do you allow something, a personality that's only hanging around, cause you to lose such a great talent, and even in losing. The talent that Awesome Kong was, because I think talent should be considered over any outside personality. They still had something with the knockout decision, but I mean we can sit here and discuss all the wrong in TNA all day long. I mean, but and we can do that with anything and with any company. But more specifically, since we're talking about TNA, I'm not going to go down the whole list, man, but. Holy crap. You hit it on the head, and they just have not allowed themselves to truly develop an identity. How many times can you say the beginning of a new era? How many times can you say that before I sit back and go bull shimmy? You understand? Like, really? How many times? And that goes back to the change that I was telling you about. How many times can you tell me that? And for me to really get excited about it, okay, baby, I'm really going to change this time. Okay, baby, I'm really, really going to change this time. Okay, baby, I know I told you that I was really, really, but this time I'm for real. So how am I supposed to get excited about it? I tell you what, until you get yourself together, I got this other female over here that I've been interested in. I'm just going to turn his attention now. And when I see change in you, if I'm not too far gone, then I might give you an opportunity to show me that change.
Amen, brother.
Now. You may speak.
Amen. Well, I tell you what, I think you were nailing it. That's the whole thing with TNA, it was just identity. You know, they were, what, originally six-sided rings? No, no, four-sided rings. They were Wednesday night pay-per-views. You know, they changed nights. They were Saturday nights. They were Thursday night. We've seen them go from being predominantly in Orlando, taking the show on the road. Now, what are they doing? They're going back to Orlando. It seems like they're just totally going backwards. Like you said, it's just constant change, and it's not clicking. Nothing seems to be clicking with the fans. And they change talent. They change faces. They got Hulk Hogan. They got Bischoff. They don't. Aces and Eights was a hot angle. Didn't go anywhere. It's just one thing after another with this company.
I think, yeah, man, you're on there, but yeah, I mean, it's changed in behind the scenes, as much as what you guys are allowed to see. Well, hell, it's just the internet today, and you pretty much know all the changes that goes on anyway. But it's just as much change behind the scenes than it is on, you know, what you see on TV. So the identity just has to be, you know, figured out and just go with it. I, for one, I know a lot of people was upset about the six-sided ring, brother. But I, for one, love the four-side. and while I definitely understand that the six-side gave them, that's not the only time you could truly say they had their own identity. It's when they had that six-sided ring because it truly was something different. And from the days back when they were on Fox have an alternative, and it gave me an alternative place to work. You know, I was watching them before I won a European tour when they caught fire during the pay-per-view. I think they should have, you know, it's okay to try and experiment or whatnot. You have to take risk. Every business has to take certain risk in order for it to grow. And TNA, and to her credit, Dixie Carter, has taken those risks. But in taking risk, I'm one who likes to know that if I'm going to jump over, leap from one ledge to another ledge, I'm going to make sure that there's enough ground under me that's not too far down that's going to protect me, or there's going to be some inflatable crash pad that if I do not make it to the other side of that ledge, I will not hurt myself in the process, and, you know, I have a safe landing. And so I would have preferred for TNA. I know going on the road was something big, and that was something that Hogan pushed for a lot, and rightfully so. You know, he pushed for it a lot. But you know, Dixie knowing the purse, knowing the cost and everything, you know, she held off from it for a while. But then when they finally got to the road, and I think the money. The money was what, you know, taking a hit, and then you lose Hogan in the process, you know. But I personally would have loved for them to stay with the model that they had. You know, your home base is out of Orlando, Florida. Stay there. This is me now. This is Bo. Stay in Orlando, Florida. Continue your home show from Orlando, Florida, and just do specials outside of Orlando, Florida. You know, and if they take that approach or had taken that approach, they were doing the pay-per-views outside, and that was working well. That was working great. And you take the pay-per-views outside of Orlando, and then you do certain specials outside of Orlando, you know. And after a while, when you're able to put butts in seats, and able to fill up those venues. I mean, because there are times we did the pay-per-view that people didn't even know that there was a pay-per-view in town. So think about doing it every other week. And you go into these shows, and there are people, AJ Styles said it best, I'm staying at a hotel right across from the venue, and the hotel staff didn't even know that there was a wrestling event in town. So think about trying to do that every other week. You know, and so that's always been one of TNA's flaws, which was the promotion part of it, the promoting part in town. You know, who's ever over that? You know, they need to rethink the strategy. WWE got these trucks. They have these big old trucks that has the superstars on it. They have the WWE logos on it. So whenever that truck is traveling, they're advertising. Mm-hmm. Whenever those trucks are traveling, and whenever those trucks pull into town, people know, oh my gosh, WWE is here. If they didn't see it on TV, they say, oh my gosh, WWE is here. Well, with TNA, we promote Bob Ryan. Excuse me. Hey, Bob, hey, Daddy, I'm not talking about you, Daddy. But we promote Ryder. Ryder truck, a rental truck. That's who we promote. We don't even take a magnetic logo and put it on the truck to cover. You may can't cover the Ryder logo because of contractual obligations, but at least put something on the truck that says TNA Impact Wrestling. So when it's mm-hmm. driving in the town, people may have the opportunity to see it. Hell, we spent, and when I say we, it's just a figure of speech, but when we spent millions of dollars on an acquisition of Hulk Hogan, which, you know, and Eric Bischoff, which, you know, may or may not have paid off for them. But can we take a couple of thousands of dollars, you know, maybe 20, 30, 40, 50, I don't know, and buy two semis and paint it up and put your Impact Wrestling on it and let those trucks be, you know, be based out of wherever, whether it's Nashville or whatnot, and let that truck and those trucks drive everywhere like WWE trucks do? Is the maintenance too much? Is it going to, I don't know. But, I mean, when you look at it, I mean, Dixie has a plan. Maybe it's cheaper for them to do it with, you know, constantly, you know, keeping Ryder in business and promote his company. Whoever the guy is, I'm sure he's loving the benefit of it.
That's right.
I mean, I would. Hey, yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
Here, come to me. I got plenty of trucks for you.
I booked the traveling, so promote me. Sorry.
Exactly. That was one of the things that really always made me mad. You know, and then finally we did make one improvement, and that was that, you know, at some point throughout my tenure there, they started changing the signs out front, you know, the electronic signs in front of the arena, and you know, making sure that TNA was in there, because there were plenty of times when you pulled up to these arenas and they were, you know, hey, Garth Brooks is coming or Taylor Swift is in town, and you saw nothing about Impact Wrestling, and we were wrestling that day. Hell, we were wrestling in a couple of hours. You know, so, you know, they made some changes, and some have been apparent, some not so apparent, and hopefully the new era that's taking place, maybe it'll be one that takes them to another decimal point in the race.
You know, one of the common criticisms of TNA is they would always hire former WWE superstars, and of course, you know, you're one of them, but, you know, last night they actually have the storyline where they have a mystery investor, which I don't know if that makes a lot of sense from a private company. It's not a publicly traded company like WWE, but
right.
They have this mystery investor. So suddenly he comes up, and who is it? It's MVP, a former WWE superstar.
MVP,
so it's like,
is back.
Some things never change in this company. You know, you got some change, but then you got one of the biggest criticism is, you know, former WWE superstars, and who is the mystery investor?
Wow.
A former WWE superstar.
Wow.
Go figure, right?
I didn't know that. Good to hear he's back, you know, for him. But
right.
you hit the nail on the head when you said, hey, you are not a private, you're a privately owned company. You're not publicly traded. You're a private company. We know, you know,
right.
Dixie owns it. And how can you have a private investor?
Right. It makes no sense.
It's one of the things where in today's, man, we're about to get to the CM Punk thing really fast. Because in today's wrestling environment, today's world of wrestling, if you will, the fans are on the inside now, and we have to figure out a way to make the inside out, if that makes sense. What once was out is in, and what once was in is out. We got to find a way to reverse it now. Not just the term to work the fans, but we got to find a way now. How do we make sense? Because you can't insult your audience. And TNA's, for the most part, their ground base, which I really think has been hurt, but the fans have stuck by them from day one. These people, you know, a lot of them are on the internet. Most of them are on the internet, and they know what's going on, and you just can't insult the fans. And yes, it is storyline driven. Yes, the fans know that, but in doing so, write me a story that makes sense. Don't. You can't write me a story right now of a little wooden boy who knows Groves when he lies, because I know better. You know, I know that. But at the same time, you can do so if that's what your audience wants. And I don't think TNA audience want that anymore. They want a more realistic product. They want something. And TNA was doing that for a while, in my opinion. They were doing that for a while, and then we tried to become a little more entertaining, if you will. And one thing about up north, you know, I from social media, I do know about everyone thinking about this whole CM Punk thing, and whether it's a work and whether it's a shoot and whatnot. Well, let me say this, and then I'm. and I won't touch on it anymore unless you go there. But let me say this. The fans, as I said, are so in tune and in touch and so invested in not just TNA or more so WWE, but they're invested in being knowledgeable about what goes on behind the scenes. So any and everything that could be a surprise is often not a surprise, and many feel that, and for some it does, it lessens the impact that such may have on an audience because it is, quote-unquote, spoiled. So when something really needs to have an impact, sometimes, again, going about making the inside out, sometimes everybody that's on the inside has to be left out. This is how so many people felt, and this is how the CM Punk angle, the pipe bomb, this is why it worked so well. Because everybody on the in was out. And so they thought, and all of the wrestling fans thought, that CM Punk went out and went rogue on Raw. And they thought that CM Punk went out on Raw and said everything that he said and that it was for real, not knowing that there's a 64, 5, 6, 7-year-old man sitting back there at the monitor with his headset on that runs his multi-billion-dollar company and at the flick of a button can cut CM Punk off and not even allow him to say what he said. But that's the magic of this business, and that's when something that's supposed to have an impact can have it because what? Stay with me now. I'm trying to teach you something here. Steve, stay with me. Everybody that was on the inside was what? Everybody that was on the inside, Steve, was left out. So only a few people knew that, and that was probably Vince, Triple H, and Stephanie. Only a few people knew that CM Punk was going to go out and drop that pipe bomb. Make mm-hmm. sense?
Right.
And so that gave fans something real to them. It gave them something real. And everything today that's going to have a major impact, not everything, but a lot of things that can have a major impact on wrestling have to be presented as real. And to do so, you keep everybody on the inside out. So therefore, when it comes to this whole CM Punk thing, in case you want to go there down the line, I want to answer it right now, I say wait and see what happens. Because Shawn Michaels took his ball and went home. Stone Cold took his ball and went home. And they all came back. Okay. So whether it's real, whether it's a work, just sit back and enjoy it and see what happens. I know one thing, there's a big old buzz going on about it. So it's not just getting CM Punk a lot of attention. It's getting WWE a lot of attention as well. Whether it can be perceived as good or bad, Daddy, they are talking. And that's
well, that
the bottom
line. That is the question, because you just had a former world champion return in Batista. They built him up, the Animal returns. He comes in and he wins the Royal Rumble. He's going on to headline WrestleMania. Looks like, at least as of right now, he's going to take on Randy Orton at WrestleMania, a match we've already seen. Fans are not really excited about this. Suddenly, the next day, CM Punk says, I'm going home. I'm frustrated. And that's the buzz. Everybody's talking, is this a work? Is what's really going on? Can he walk
he
away right now? Can he miss
frustrated.
A WrestleMania paycheck?
Right. But he wasn't frustrated. He wasn't frustrated just 18, 20 hours before that when he spent over 50 minutes in the Royal Rumble and probably had already known the outcome of the match. Kevin has said it does. Hey, I knew Daniel Bryan wasn't going to win because I looked at the board backstage. So, people saying, hey, he probably got mad because Batista, won the Royal Rumble. I mean, he knows the plan. Everybody knows the plan. If you're there, you know the plan. So maybe he did get fed up with it. I'm not saying that he didn't, but I just rather just wait it out and see what happens.
Obviously, we've heard this for a long time that, you know, wrestling doesn't have an off season. You know, every week you're a television character. You're on pay-per-view. You're on house shows. There is no break. The only time you get a break is if you get injured. And a lot of times when you're injured, they still want you in the storyline in some capacity. 52 weeks a year, you're on Impact. You're on Raw. You're on SmackDown. And I think part of CM Punk's situation is he's, A, burned out, but I think he's got these nagging injuries. Sometimes we hear when somebody's healthy, it's, yeah, okay, I'm healthy, but you know you're still hurting. I mean,
right.
You can't be whipped in, and you can't be dropped and not feel it every day. I'm sure you can testify to that. And
absolutely,
it's like,
Daddy.
You get beat up, you know, week after week after week, and sometimes you just need to go home and take a break. And a lot of guys are not afforded this opportunity. CM Punk is probably different that he's, you know, made his money and he's not worried about job security. But there are other guys on that roster who would probably like to say, hey, you know, Vince, can I have a couple of weeks off? Can I go home, you know, play with my kids? And they don't want to do that because, you know, you might go home and you may not come back.
Right. Do you think for a second, with the return of Batista, that, okay, I got one of my top stars back. I love Dave, by the way. I might have to do a video saying I'll leave Dave alone, but leave him alone. But I love Dave. Dave is such a cool guy, man. And I think that he's getting a lot of flack. for something he has no control over. I mean, if there's anybody out there that's going to aim fault at this man's way for him doing seemingly what CM Punk is doing, for him doing what he felt was best for him, and to take a break because he was frustrated with this, with the same company that CM Punk is frustrated with, and he walked away. Now, whether it's 3 months, whether it's 4 months, whether it's a year, whether it's 2 years, if CM Punk works out something and comes back, I can seriously doubt that he's going to come back and be in the middle of the card. He's going to come back in a big angle, just like Dave did. And he's going to get pushed straight at top because it's just the way the business works. He's a former multi-time champion, and you're not going to come back to the middle. There's no way Dave should have came back to the middle. If they allow Dave to come back, God bless him. Good for him. I mean, you know, Chris Jericho, God bless him. Good for him. You know, maybe these guys are being the trendsetters that this business needs and doing just that, what you said, hey, Vince, Triple H, just give these guys some time off. And with Dave coming back, maybe it was, you know, I'm just playing devil's advocate here, or not devil's advocate, but giving an alternative point of view. Maybe it's just, we got Dave back. Let's get CM Punk and out so he can take a break. And we'll bring him back right before WrestleMania, if that be the case. And if he's not going to be at WrestleMania, then maybe he walked out. But maybe it's a planned break, maybe it's not a break. But I think no fault of Dave coming back and getting a slot. He's a top tier player. He's a top tier player. I mean, I just don't know. Would this same argument be made to, you know, a year from now, 2 years from now, or 6 months from now, when CM Punk comes back and get on top? Would the same argument be made? I don't know.
I think you nailed it right there in saying that these guys that take breaks, they come back. Yeah, as soon as they come back, they're going to be on top because they've been out of the limelight for so long. Dave Batista's been gone for a while. Suddenly, yeah, he's
right.
Former world champion. Of course, he's not going to want to come back and be a mid-carder. He
right.
wants to be
it's
on top.
Happen.
I mean,
it's not going to happen.
He's going to get back. I mean, Dave is what? Is it early 40s now?
Yeah, Dave got CM Punk by 10 years, so yeah.
Well, my point is, you know, he's at the end. He's probably at the end of his career, Dave Batista.
He is.
He's not going to be wrestling when he's 50 years old. Let's put it that way.
Right.
This could be his last run. So I might come back, and yeah, I'm going to get the championship. I'm going to headline WrestleMania. I'm going to get my paycheck. That's what it's all about.
That's what it's
about. And like you said, to see a pump takes a break, and he comes back next year at this time, or at the Royal Rumble next year.
He's
going to be right on top again. Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So the whole argument of Dave coming in and getting the top spot and it's not fair, that's BS. That's BS. If that's the case, everybody should be mad at Undertaker, and not that they can, and that's not they can't be mad at Undertaker. But we all know that the Undertaker and his streak is the most important thing of the last 10 WrestleManias.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry. It overshadows every match. It overshadows every championship.
Mm-hmm.
That thing has been built to such a phenomenon that it is the biggest. They got to have that until the man can't walk no more. You know, so he'll probably do it for about 2-3 more years, but they got to have that streak. They got to, because it's one of the most important things of Mania. And when they lose that, then maybe they'll figure out something else to go with. Maybe they'll try to start another streak. I don't know. But Undertaker, deservedly so, you know, is the man. And I love the fact that he is so much of the man. He's earned, and gosh, I mean, when I tell you I love this guy is just awesome. I'm talking about behind the scenes. He is awesome. He is fair. He's the godfather, brother, of professional wrestling, if you will. And if somebody else used that, you make sure they give me royalties for it. But this man is the godfather of professional wrestling. And the fact that he's put his time in and has done what he's done in this business and then says, hey, Vince, I'm going home. This is what's going to happen. I'm going to start my family, okay? I'm taking time off. I'll come back before Mania every year, and we'll do the streak. I dare anybody to say something about that.
Right.
Right.
No, I know one guy who would have liked to have that schedule, and it's interesting that he's being rumored to finally go to WWE. Is I know a few years ago was Sting wanted that deal. He's like, yeah, I'll come in. Give me Undertaker's schedule. Give me a light schedule.
Right.
I'll come in. And, of course, Vince at that time, you know, well, there's only one Undertaker.
Right. There's only one Sting.
So there's only – I know you worked with Sting in the past. Do you think Sting is going to go to WWE at this time?
Well, if Sting doesn't go – and I've talked to Steve a lot, again. At one point, there was three people in this world that I wanted to meet. And I said in this world, because ultimately one will be the Lord, Jesus Christ. But three people,
amen.
Three people right. Physically would have been one. I would have loved to have met Michael Jackson. That was on my bucket list. I was going over there to see him too, in the UK. Two is President Bill Clinton, the first black president of the United States of America. The first black president. And three was Sting. That is how much respect I have for this guy. Only to after my contract with TNA came up and I chose to walk away, only then did I get a picture with the man called Sting. Only then. I respected him so much. I worked with him, shared dressing rooms with him, changed beside him, never asked him for a picture, autograph, or none of that. Only until after I stepped outside the TNA organization, I said, hey, let me get, you know, let's get a picture so I can have this moment. But back to the point at hand, I talked to him several times about WWE. And I feel, hope feels, in all of his infinite wisdom, that Steve Borden owes it to himself to have a WrestleMania moment. And if he don't do it this year, Daddy, if he don't do it this year, I doubt it'll ever happen. But do I feel that it's going to happen? I feel that he has a better chance of it happening. I feel there's a better chance of it happening now than it's been in the past. But one way or another, if he never wrestles for WWE, he's still going to sign with WWE when his wrestling career is over. He's still going to get a Legends deal. He's still going to get a multi-million dollar probably. It's not $1 million, but yeah, a multi-million-dollar merchandising deal. He's going to get all that. He's still going to get a 3-disc, 4-disc compilation, 2 or 3 of them with all the footage they have. So
Hall
of Fame. Yeah. So
he's going to get it, right?
Yeah, he's going to get it regardless.
Mm-hmm.
He will be under the WWE banner regardless. Whether or not we get that Undertaker Sting match is the big question.
What has kept him in TNA? Because I think, you know, every year his contract's up in January, and he always, at least in the past, has decided to stay in TNA. Is, you know, you got to applaud the guy for loyalty, but what is keeping him there at this point?
Well, I think, for one, it's the youth movement in WWE, and he is not one to. If he had it his way, he would not have been the guy, if you will, in TNA for so long. You know, he doesn't like taking away from other guys, especially younger guys. He don't like to be out there, pushed as the top back all the time. I mean, yes, he is seen, but he wanted to have that company grow. He wanted to put his footprint on the TNA product. You know, he was the cornerstone, as Kurt Angle said, of that locker room. Everybody respects Sting. And then, as you say, the schedule. You know, Sting is a personal type of guy. And so he built a personal relationship with Dixie. You know, so they're friends, you know. And sometimes that's good and sometimes it's bad. But Sting, I think, it's just Sting going up here into this environment and not having the comfort in knowing that whatever's going to go on with me, I'm going to be okay with, or I can say, hey, how about this, or let's change this up a little bit, without there being any repercussions. Because this man has built this thing up for over almost three decades, and I think there's always been the worry about when it came to going up to this, you know, are they going to Dusty Rhodes me? You know, but Dusty Daddy was so good, and it didn't matter. You could put polka dots on him, you could put him in a doggone flamingo outfit, and Dusty would have still got over. But at this stage of Steve's career, it's like, I think it's more so protecting his character, one, and protecting his character of who he is on the inside, probably more so than anything. You know, because, you know, WWE does some things that just make you go, oh, you know, I don't want to do this. That's kind of crazy. You know, Steve's a God-fearing man. He's big on morals. He's big on values. And he's big on character. And I think he's wanting to protect that. And then I don't think the money's the issue. It's, like you said, can I get the type of schedule that's going to accommodate my 50-year-old body?
Mm-hmm. Right. I want to ask you about Jeff Jarrett. Of course, you worked with him in TNA. There's rumors out there that at one time he was interested in buying TNA, and now we're hearing that Jeff Jarrett may start a new promotion with country star Toby Keith. Thoughts on a potential new promotion in wrestling? And we're hearing that they're reaching out to available talent. Has Mr. Jarrett maybe gave you a phone call at this point?
Well, again, Jarrett is the one, him and Terry Taylor was on an elevator, and my name came up, and Jared wanted me to come down to Orlando, and like I said, he gave me my opportunity in TNA. I had almost 4 years with TNA, a great run there. I had a good time there, rather. And if Jared is doing that, then, you know, obviously I think it's a no-brainer if he reaches out to me, you know, and likewise, that there's something that can happen there. Whether or not it's going to happen, I don't know. But I do know that Jared is such a go-getter. He's such a determined man that if he wants to say, okay, I can't get this company back on track or get it back to where I want it to be, I'm going to step outside of it and I'm going to start another company and show you how it should be. Then I think he can do that, especially if he got the backers, you know, and Toby Keith, as you said, I think it can happen. And I'd be more than willing to hop aboard.
I know you haven't been in TNA for a while, but what do you think is the long-term future of this company? Because we've heard, you know, Billy Corgan was interested in TNA. We heard Toby Keith may have been interested in TNA. We actually heard that he was actually offered the company, and maybe he looked at the books and said, geez, I don't know. I don't think I want to invest in this company right now. Do you think the Carters are still solidly behind TNA? Do you think Impact Wrestling will survive with Spike TV, or what do you think the long-term future of TNA really is at this point?
I doubt. I seriously doubt that Billy Corgan or whatever that whole rumor thing was, I seriously doubt that was true, for one. Okay? Number two, Dixie's dad. This man, you know, nobody wants to lose money, but that company will stay afloat long as he wants it to, long as he's willing to keep back. And at one point, I do know, Dixie started making her own money off the product. You know, they do really big overseas as it is. And actually does super well. And you know, you probably know better than WWE and a lot of the overseas markets. But one, it'll stay afloat as long as Dixie's father sees fit for it too, and two, being as long as Spike TV is on board. So that's how I feel about the long term, you know, because you know, Spike TV is very influential on the product. They have the vice president that often shows up to the shows. He's a fan of the product, you know. So let's just hope that there's not a change that comes. And you know, I'm pulling for TNA. I'm rooting for TNA. You know, I got a bunch of friends works there, and a bunch of people I respect. So I hope that TNA, you know, grows more and expand and become a bigger product and a better product, more importantly.
I think that's the thing that people don't understand. You know, I'm a journalist and I want TNA to do well. You're a wrestler. You want TNA to do well. The fans out there want to see TNA do well because it gives you opportunities to wrestle in other venues, and it gives us, the fans, a chance to see different products. You know, journalists, I get to cover different promotions. You know, I get tired of WWE all the time, you know, because it's predominantly what we cover because it's the king of wrestling right now. But it'd be nice to see TNA really do well and really click with fans and give fans an alternative, because, you know, there are disgruntled WWE fans out there and they're looking.
Right.
Going back to even WCW days, what happened to all that WCW audience? You know, I think a lot of them got disgruntled. They didn't go necessarily to WWF, and they were looking for this alternative product out there. So
that was one of the same things that I was speaking of earlier when I talked about the change and recognizing your audience. WCW, prime example, when they started heading in the wrong direction. And, you know, WCW was not just one of the big boys play, but it was where the good old boys are. So they brought in Master P. They paid all that money for Master P to come in into a Southern network, if you will, connection. And this is not recognizing your audience. You got this big old rap group that comes in, and you want to make these guys faces over the Texas redneck, you know, or whatever their name was. You know, rap is trap guy. So
right. Yep.
So out of circumstances, immediately in the hill. Because, hey, we're not into this rap crap. The majority of their audience, you know, is Southern and just was not into rap. So that's one of the things about recognizing your audience. And I think TNA, if I could talk about Pulp for a second, people were just clamoring. They were on board the whole Pulp arrival. They were just aboard, and we were supposed to go somewhere with that, man. And you know, again, change is good and change is bad. Change has to happen, but when the right time is there for a certain change to take place and go with it, they got to do it. And a lot of times that hasn't happened. I'm definitely pulling for him. I mean, hell, I may end up back in TNA as well. You know, I didn't leave on bad terms. You know, like, that's what was best for me at the time. And we'll see what happens.
Well, I got to ask you one question about WWE. We talked mainly about TNA, but WWE, your relationship with them, is the door open for a return? And ultimately, what happened with WWE? You know, why did they let you go at that time?
Well, I was sidelined. I think everybody, I've been blessed and fortunate enough in this business not to have any major injuries. I suffered my shoulders in TNA, and those are probably about the biggest injuries I've had, you know, the shoulder injuries. WWE, I was on the sideline. We were just starting the transformation into the Black Pope. And I got sidelined for a second, and the changing of the writers. It's when the Michael Hayes thing happened, and all the writers started getting switched around. Okay, I'm no longer working on this project. I'm working on this. We have to focus on this. And I just kind of got lost. And next thing you know, it was time to clean house, and that's when it was reported they needed to dump $20 million. It was reported, that is. I don't know how much of that was true, but I know at that time at least 15 wrestlers got released that Thursday or Friday, you know, and I got released that Monday, I believe it was. So Johnny Ace had called me, and I was a huge fan of mine. Of my work, at least, and very respected with each other. I love Johnny. He's never. A lot of people said that he's this or that, but the man always shot straight with me, and he was the only one. Him and Arn Anderson, they continually pushed for me to become a babyface. They continually pushed for me, and that, I mean, you ever towards the end of my run in WWE, did you notice I stopped doing the Outer Limits elbow? I stopped doing
right.
that because Arn came to me and he said, okay, here's a Pope Arn Anderson impression. It's probably going to sound as bad as Homer Simpson trying to mimic Marge, but here we go. This will be a sound bite that's probably going to be all over the internet. But he goes, kid, I'm in here arguing with him. I'm trying to tell him. Why are they going to kick my guy? That's a heel. Kid was doing all of his good stuff because he's outshining the baby face. So it was one of the things where I had to, I stopped doing a lot of my quote-unquote cool moves, stuff that was outshining the baby faces that I would wrestle. Or not necessarily outshine the baby faces, but it was just too cool for a heel to do. And that's why I stopped with the Outer Limits elbow drop. Now, today in this WWE, it don't seem like stuff like that matters because everybody's doing cool stuff. But, yeah, I think the door for me to return is open. I've talked to a couple of people. I just spoke to an official yesterday, as a matter of fact. Now, not necessarily about a return, but about business. So there's definitely opportunity there, I believe. Again, I didn't leave on bad terms with them. It was by no fault of mine. Johnny Hayes just said, you know, we're cleaning house, and, you know, they're not doing anything with you right now. They have nothing, you know, they're not doing anything creative honestly with you right now, and you're one of the names that we're going with. That's what I was told, and that's what I believe to be true. So I definitely look forward to going back to the WWE. I'll tell you that much.
Well, I think it's going to happen eventually. We're going to see you back with WWE or TNA somewhere down the line, and who knows, you know, if Jeff Jarrett is serious and Toby Keith is going to invest money and back him, maybe, well, you know, we could see you in that promotion as well. We never know. I mean, the door is always open. And
when I get there, I just don't want it to be, I just don't want it to be 10 years from now, me coming down to go inside the ring for 1 or 2 minutes and get tossed out of the Royal Rumble. I want to come down like Bush or Luke or the Bushwhacker. So hopefully we can make that happen real soon. And if I go to WWE, if things work out and I do go back to WWE, which, again, I'm hoping that happens more than anything, because there's just so much opportunity there. I don't care if it was for me to manage or be a part of the network, but if there's something there, then I would love for that to happen sooner than later. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, we appreciate your time. It's been great talking to you. Looking forward to talking to you again, because I got some more questions for you. But I know we've taken up a lot of your time tonight, and we do appreciate it. And before we close with you, go ahead and plug your social media. I know you're Dub Black Pope on Twitter, and we're going to see more Pope TV as well.
That's right, Pope TV for you. That's the number 4 and the letter U. On YouTube, please go check that out, Daddy, because Pope got a lot of original content on the YouTube and even some dramatization that you guys definitely get a kick out of, and there's going to be a lot more of that to come. And I'm on Facebook.com/Elijah Burke, and as he said, D.A., the Black Pope, on Twitter. So, hey, Steve, it was an honor, man, for me as well to finally sit down and have this discussion with you. Obviously your name has been involved with a lot of the news and tidbits over the years, man, when it comes to that internet. So the pleasure was all yours.
Well, we appreciate it. Looking forward to doing a part 2 with you. I got a lot more questions. We got to really get back into your WWE career. But in the meantime, we do appreciate your time, and we wish you nothing but the best.
All right, Daddy, and Pope can assure you we will do part 2, okay?
Amen, brother.
All right, man. You take care, and be blessed.